Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I wanted a chance for us to talk together because next week will be Rohatsu. And not that many people have signed up to come for the whole thing, but I hope everybody will come at least for the first part. But on Sunday, last Sunday, my talk was based on text of Suzuki Roshi's, and in it he was talking about when we basically base our lives on the direction that's given to us by way-seeking mind. And he was talking about it in such an interesting way, didn't you think?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to a kind of morality. I don't think he would, really make these oppositional, but for the sake of speaking, he did. And the basic distinction he was making was that when we are basing things on morality, there's still a choice of do good or do not do good, something like that, as opposed to when we base our lives on a way-seeking mind, really, there's no alternative way. That was his phrase. There's no alternative way. There's no out. You can't escape. You can't say, I feel like doing good, so I'll do good. Or he used the word taking, which I'm interested in. Or I don't feel like taking the good way, so I won't do that today. There's a way in which when we really allow ourselves to recognize that we can live past our wildest dreams of what life could be through this understanding of a way-seeking, living based on way-seeking mind, that such a great relaxation can enter our lives. Such a great heartedness. We can actually feel our potential and feel our nature in a way that far surpasses what happens when we live based on appetite. And by appetite, I mean, in a way, choice. The kind of choice that that I think he was talking about. The trap is that we think, okay, good, bad, right? And that's not really what the whole discussion is about. What the whole discussion is about is living based on our nature, living based on what we truly and thoroughly and completely and already are. Son was 15 on Sunday. And last week we were just at dinner, right? Just kind of having a conversation. And out of nowhere he said, you know, I think it would be really fun to, make a lot of money and do whatever I wanted to do. But the world is so fucked up, that's what he said, that I don't think I could bear to live a life that didn't help. And that didn't help. And it just brought tears to my eyes. It just came from seemingly came from nowhere. Because, of course, it's right. It would be really fun to have a life where you make a lot of money and do anything you want. But here's a 15-year-old, or at the time, 14-year-old boy, who says, I see what's going on here. This is a disaster. I have to do something. Now, we didn't tell him to think that way. I think that we all know what life is for. I don't think this has to be taught. I think, actually, we have to be taught against it in order for things to have gotten so messed up. I think we really know. I think every child knows how to live. And if we nurture that in the child, then the child will just, out of nowhere. I mean, I think we were talking about basketball a minute before, you know. Well, if I had my way, that's what we would have been talking about. But, you know, I think that's a natural expression. That's no different than a leaf, than a tree knowing when it's time for the leaves to turn green and when it's time for the leaves to fall. It's just absolutely nature speaking. That's the sound of nature. We have been so convinced by our various appetites and by our culture, which encourages that kind of appetite, and especially in North America, where the idea of choice is king. You know, this delusion has taken us so far away from ourselves. So when I talk about ourselves, I'm talking about an isness where way-seeking mind is functional and obvious. It's functional because it's already there helping us. And it's obvious because there's nothing obscuring it. And that means that our nature, our deep nature, our true nature is functioning and it's apparent. Of course you wouldn't go out and try to hurt somebody. You may hurt somebody because you became unconscious or because you became overwhelmed by some appetite and you decided it's what is the phrase, us or them, it's me or you or something like that. So, okay, we have lapses. But basically, we return to ourself, and the more solid our relationship to that self is, the more we're able to allow way-seeking mind to lead us to continue to live. So if that's the case, then my question to you is, what is way-seeking mind seeking? Because we call it way-seeking mind, there must be a reason for it. And we even say it's way-seeking mind. Okay, so what is way-seeking mind seeking?
Way.
It's seeking the way. And what is that? Say it again?
Our Buddha nature.
Seeking our Buddha nature. Mm-hmm. But if our Buddha nature is already functioning and apparent, what's all this seeking business?
Well, it's been sort of covered over by light. Delusion. Mm-hmm. Delusion. Yeah.
So it's been covered over.
By our minds.
By
we don't believe in it anymore because mm-hmm. we've been raised in a society that says a Christian Judeo-Christian belief system that says we're intrinsically evil and sinful.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we kind of buy into that to some extent or another.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have to uncover that belief and realize that it's false.
Yes, and that's true for us in North America. But way-seeking mind is not an American phrase. Dogen used this phrase in the 1200s.
Is there a concept of destiny in Buddhism?
What does destiny mean in not
the
Buddhism?
Way. I mean, the way.
Uh huh. Yeah, I don't understand the idea of destiny myself. Which is interesting to find out, because I don't know if anyone ever asked me about it before, but I don't think I know what destiny means. Like what does it mean?
Well, the path that you are to walk.
The path that you are to walk.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So some kind of preordained thing.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, okay. Now I understand it. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think there is any sense of preordination. Some people will use the concept of karma to say that it's preordained by your previous actions.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, in that way, I suppose, people talk about destiny in Buddhism. But in our way, there's no sense of that kind of preordination. In our way, in Zen way, it's more this isness that I mentioned. If you know, when we ally ourselves with what we already are, then we can say that's destiny in a way, you know. But that's kind of, I think that's kind of trying to fit this idea that destiny is something that we should understand. See, where the conversation is starting to go is, so it's not about North America. It's not about capitalism, right? Because we're talking about, I mean, Dogen talked about this. And where did Dogen get it? Dogen got it in China. So there's something that I think is primordial that goes way, way back. This idea of way-seeking mind. Because I don't think it's dependent on culture that we lose it. I think it's a fact of human mind. Yeah.
I'm just wondering if it relates in some way to the Tao, because the Tao means way, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a connection there historically in China.
Oh, I'm sure it goes back to, you know, to the some sense of Tao. You know, as language, as the way, for sure. It's very interesting to me that when we think about the way, inherent in the word, there's some idea of getting somewhere, right? Like, what's the way? You know, how, in other words, how to, and then also the way of, like, you know, the Appian Way, right? In Rome, like the, you know, some place, some path you have to walk. And yet in Zen, the way is about right here and right now. This is really a revolutionary idea. It's about right here and right now. There's no getting and there's no going. It is this thing that I call the kind of isness of our being. And I think in some sense the insight was that mind, that human mind, loses itself in a smaller part of itself from the larger self that it is. Isn't that your experience? We lose ourself in a smaller part of ourself from the larger self that we are, and then we lose our way, which means we lose ourself. Because there's no distinction between way and self. So instead of saying, is that clear? Does that make some sense to you? So instead of saying way-seeking mind, we can say self-seeking mind. Why self-seeking mind? Because self loses self. How can self lose self? Self loses self when a part of self seems to be all of self. Or when a part of self takes control of self and confuses us. We become, quote, ignorant. In other words, we ignore the larger self that we are. And so way-seeking mind has not been lost, but we can't hear its voice so clearly. We don't see it so clearly. We're not in touch with it so clearly. And yet one of the great, truly great revolutions of the Buddha Dharma is that just because we don't see it and we don't hear it, or we're not in touch with it, does not mean that it is not there. In fact, the more we try to say what it is, the more we push it away. And this goes back to Lao Tzu, who said the way that can be explained is not the eternal way. This word eternal is very important. You know the quote, right? The way that can be described or the way that can be explained is not the way, is what people usually say. But actually what Lao Tzu said was, is not the eternal way, which means it never goes anywhere. It's always right. It's this. That's it. That's Tao, right there. That means it's always there. That means we're always there. That means destiny is this. Right? That means self is always there. It's so positive. It's so life-affirming. So that even if we get lost, or even when we get lost, way is still way. Self is still self. It's like if I sit in front of a mountain and I close my eyes, I could say, the mountain, there's no mountain. And I could believe it. And for me in that moment, there is no mountain. but is there a mountain or not? And that's where we stop talking. What I think is very interesting, very important, is for us to begin to allow some of these kinds of phrases in our Zen tradition to enter our lives, not as answers to anything, but as points of inquiry. You know, maybe like a koan. That's why I said, what is all this seeking? If it's already here, what is it about? What is way? What is self? How does that work exactly? Just as a point of inquiry. And next time you find yourself becoming confused because of some appetite, then maybe you'll hear my voice saying, what about way-seeking mind? Why don't you let way-seeking mind solve the problem? Then you'll know right away what to do. Yeah.
Well, when you were chanting identity of relative and absolute, and I can never quote things without looking at it, because
it's okay to look.
It says,
you can see.
Where does it say? Oh, yeah, to be attached to things is illusion. Well, I swear, I am attached to things 20,000 times every single day.
More.
Yeah. Well, okay, 100, a million.
Yeah.
A billion.
Yeah, right.
And so for me, like, way-seeking mind is that moment where I can say, where I wake up momentarily and go, oh, I'm attached to this. And then probably 2 seconds later, I'm reattached, you know, again. But for me, way-seeking mind is that moment of awareness that brings me back. And it's that intention and commitment that says, wake up, you know, now. Notice that you're attached. Mm-hmm. Even if I fall back into the mud.
Yeah, falling back is unimportant. That's really just unimportant. I mean, first of all, the mud is nice. No mud, no lotus, as you know. But I my experience is like home. It's just home. I'm just home. That's all. And it, just speaking personally. So let's say I get lost in some way. And then I rededicate myself. Just in a moment, I rededicate myself. And in that moment, I am completely free. Free from what? Yeah. Free from that terrible feeling of being lost, of losing myself, of losing this beautiful miracle of a clear, loving heart, an understanding heart and mind. You know, we can fool ourselves into thinking we're having a really great time when we get lost, but some part of us knows that we are lost. And that's the very same part that allows a boy to say, it would be really fun to make a lot of money and do anything I want, but, you know, that but, right there. That's way-seeking mind saying, let me help you. Yeah.
You're saying that's not a choice.
I think it's always there. And if we cultivate, we will hear it more often. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's a choice. I think that's our nature. That is our nature. There's no choice in what your nature is. Like the tree has no choice. In the spring, the leaves are green. In autumn, they will fall. And I think it's an essential part of the Buddha Dharma that way-seeking mind is what we are. The question is, can we be what we are? Because unlike a tree, we can choose against our nature. We can choose against it. And when we do, the price is heavy. So human beings, unlike trees, have concepts like way-seeking mind to help us return so that in spring the leaves are green. This leaf is green in spring. And in autumn, this leaf will fall. Doesn't that make sense?
It does, but for me it's still like I'm completely lost. I completely lose my way when I'm really caught in my own selfish.
Oh, we all do. Yeah, absolutely.
And for me, I definitely have to make a choice to shift that. It's not something that happens naturally for me. I definitely have to look at it and go, okay, I gotta move from this. It's a choice for me.
How do you know that you're making a choice? How do you know that way-seeking mind simply is giving you no choice and therefore you feel you're making a choice?
Can I give an example?
No, I'm saying, you say, okay, I've got to choose because what I really want to do is this other thing.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, so I'm choosing. And I'm saying, way-seeking mind is giving you no choice and that's why you're saying, I'm choosing. Right?
Yeah.
You understand that? Yeah, right. You say, okay, I'm going to choose. And way-seeking mind is saying, he hasn't got a chance. And therefore, he's going to think he's choosing. Okay, you think what you want, big fella. Right?
Yeah.
And that's part of what is so beautiful about our nature. Yeah, Anika.
Well, for me, when you're talking and sort of thinking about words, I use them. I think of it often as being in the flow. Sometimes you're just in the flow and the people you're meant to help show up and you have the right words or the right things to give them, or you know, you just without much effort are able to like be really helpful in the world. You know, just, and you know it. You know you're doing right action, you know you're using right speech. Like you just you're just in the flow. And that to me is like, whenever you say way-seeking mind, that to me means, that's, I know that feeling when I'm in the flow, it just lines up, you know. The part, the trick, you know, is that then all of a sudden I'm like over here, and I'm not conscious of how I got from like, wow, I'm in the flow, it's going so well, and then I'm like, oh my God, I'm over here, you know. And then the getting back is like swimming upstream, and there's like, you know, there's like conflicts brewing, and like, you know, it's hard work, and then all this, and it's not even something I can do, then all of a sudden I'm back here again in the flow, and it's like, wow, you know, I should always be here, and then
right, as soon as you say I should always be here, you're already over there.
So there's no question about knowing when I'm there. It was